Good Thursday and welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Glad to have you along here today. We'll bring you feature agricultural news reports along with a look at regional and national agricultural news. And we'll start with regional agricultural news headlines right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
According to the 2022 California Almond Nursery Sales Report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service, there were at least 5.23 million almond trees sold by California nurseries since June 1st of 2021. Based on the Almond Acreage Survey, plantings from 2018 to 2022 were used to calculate an average trees per acre of 133. This results in approximately 40,000 acres of almonds planted from June of 2021 through May of 2022. About 63% of total trees sold, or 25,000 acres, were for new almond orchard acres, and 33%, or 13,000 acres, replaced existing almond orchards. The remaining trees sold replaced trees within existing almond orchards. California Citrus Mutual is excited to launch a new citrus import dashboard that is now available on their website. The new dashboard tracks imports of lemons, oranges, grapefruit, clementines, and tangerines available in real time as they are published by USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service. The reports are interactive and you can find them on the California Citrus Mutual website. They are located on the market page under the industry tab and can also be reached through the website homepage. California has announced funding for the next round of the Sustainable Agricultural Lands Conservation Program, which fights climate change by providing grants to projects that conserve agricultural lands and encourage sustainable development. Since the first round of awards in 2015, the SALC program has awarded $373 million to projects in 36 counties, permanently conserving more than 194,000 acres of agricultural land. The California Strategic Growth Council and the Department of Conservation have announced the release of funding for round 9 of the program, which is funded by cap and trade auction proceeds. While the total amount available in this round will be determined later this year, funds available in round 8 last year totaled nearly $105 million. The program prioritizes funding for projects that benefit California Native American tribes, beginning farmers and ranchers, farmers and ranchers who are U.S. military veterans, and farmers and ranchers who live in disadvantaged communities or low-income communities or households. SGC has reduced the match requirement for acquisitions from 25 to 10%, recognizing that match funding requirements may be prohibitive in communities where such match funding is harder to access. Applicants whose projects will benefit priority populations may apply for 100% of funding with no match required. Sustainable Ag Lands grants are available for projects that develop plans to protect agricultural lands or to conserve such lands directly by acquiring agricultural conservation easements or purchasing land outright for conservation. The program also provides grants to support the capacity of local organizations to develop agricultural conservation projects. For more information on applying for Sustainable Agricultural Lands Conservation Grants, go to the California Strategic Growth Council website. United Ag is excited to announce our first Ag Health Challenge and Community Fair in the Salinas Valley, taking place on Sunday, May 21st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Toro Park. The community event will commemorate National Physical Fitness and Sports Month by hosting a 3K and 5K walkathon during the event. The purpose of the event is to grow a healthier agricultural community by conducting complementary health screenings, raise awareness of health risks, share healthy habits, promote health benefits, and provide educational resources. In addition to the events, there will be booths with information on diabetes and nutrition, a healthy kitchen, mental health, health screenings, and member services. Ag Health Challenge is one of the many in-person and virtual health events United Ag will be hosting in commemoration of the 40th anniversary of their employer-sponsored health plan. United Ag represents more than 1,000 agricultural affiliated member companies and helps its members to meet their employee benefit needs, promotes their interests with lawmakers, and helps them comply with health legislation and regulation. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Justice have announced that Tesoro Refining and Marketing Company will have to pay a $27.5 million penalty for violating a 2016 consent decree ordering the company to reduce air pollution at its petroleum refinery in Martinez, California. In particular, according to the settlement, Tesoro failed to limit air emissions of nitrogen oxides, a pollutant that contributes to smog. The settlement requires Tesoro to adhere to strict pollution controls at the facility. The facility is currently undergoing conversion into a renewable fuels plant, which will use renewable sources such as vegetable oils to produce fuels instead of crude oil. The settlement also sets up a framework for additional pollutant reductions, including significant climate co-benefits. Specifically, the settlement requires Tesoro to forego hundreds of annual emission credits that it could otherwise sell to area sources who could then increase their emissions. In May of 2020, Tesoro suspended operations at the Martinez refinery and announced its plan to convert the refinery to a renewable fuels plant. The agreement includes requirements to limit air pollution from the future renewable fuels plant. The agreement does not prohibit Tesoro from resuming petroleum refining, but if it does so, they must install specific air pollution control technology at an expected cost of $125 million to ensure stringent nitrous oxide emissions are met.
Agrivoltaics, the co-location of both agriculture and solar voltaics, is becoming more and more popular, especially in California, where the renewable energy push is in full swing and space for energy solutions is limited. In California, many growers are also seeing rising energy costs for some time now and have been looking for novel solutions to reduce those costs. Agrivoltaics technology has the potential to reduce these costs while also combating climate change and creating a more resilient ag landscape, according to Aztec Solar's Kevin Logue.
Voltaics, as we know from their typical applications, you're able to offset your energy with a clean energy, or you offset your energy costs with clean energy. And having this in a farm setting is giving clean crops with clean energy, right? That's kind of the whole, always been the goal with that. But also with different applications, you're able to increase the yield of certain types of products, such as berries. You're also able to shade areas and protect farm workers who are exposed to direct sun. And you're also able to cover some of your crops and reduce the frost that hampers the yield. So those are just, you know, a couple of different ways that we find that farmers are motivated to incorporate the photovoltaics to their agricultural settings. The cost of energy is the number one driver, right? That's the biggest, you know, the biggest problem for most farmers is having a positive outcome with their yield at the end of the day after they go to market. Well, offsetting some of your operational costs is going to help us get there. Now, if that mechanism you're using to offset your operational costs can also help your harvest yield, then we have something that the farmers and the society can benefit from. And that's what we're seeing now with some of these new applications. And we have a lot of the Germans to thank for this, some of this forward progressive thinking. And that's something that we're following suit with, and we don't want to have to reinvent the wheel, but we do want to practice, you know, good farming practices. We want to adhere to those.
There are a number of agrivoltaic setups becoming increasingly common, but one in particular that Logue noted is the vertical panel setup in fields and vineyards, where panels' faces are at a vertically upright angle compared to the ground, creating almost a fence of panels in a row that reduces the amount of land needed for that panel space.
Basically, you've taken solar modules and you've turned them into fences. And that's been probably the biggest change or application that we've found And these vertical fences, they have a couple different uses. Number one, they're bifacial modules. And when we line them up north-south, you get a really good east and west harvest. And it's very, very similar to a standard optimized installation of due south at 180 degrees azimuth at a 20 to 30 degree tilt, depends on where you are on the equator. So it's so for this to have the almost the same exact harvest, this is a game changer. And this is something that it's been introduced here this last year, and it's becoming more and more popular. We just installed the first one in the United States, but we have many more right now that are in process. So one of the things that we find with this vertical solar is that it's going to, once again, give you that same goal of offsetting your energy, and at the same time, you're reducing the land needed by 90%. I only need 10% of what I typically would need if I'm just putting out standard solar and trying to help that farmer offset his harvest. So now he's really almost got a very similar yield with the offset of energy that he was hoping for.
A number of other new technologies in the agrivoltaic sector are available to growers to benefit their specific situations, Logue said.
Your standard solar product that's been out there in the past has been your basic solar module, you know, one face getting the majority of the work. Having a bifacial module that gets harvest on both sides, once again, it's a smarter technology, and if the alignment's correct, it is a good use. But then there's also sometimes you don't have that application, but maybe you have a water retaining pond and you can float your solar out there on floating platforms. And so you're utilizing space that would usually not be used for anything but water retention. You're able to reduce the evaporation by having those applications over the water. And so it's a win-win because you're not losing any kind of valuable ground, and you're able to also help with your water retention at the same time. So that's a real popular one. It's a little bit expensive. Sure, you got to float these out. Yet it's with the cost of energies, the ROI, the return on investment on these are less than 5 years. So it's usually a very, very good offer for the farmer. You know, that's one way. You know, your other typical ways are rooftops and or, you know, outdoor patio coverings, things of those natures. You have hillsides. There's a new product out called Earthos, which is they lay it flat on the ground where there's no metal involved, and there's a little robot that cleans it every night. That's the lowest cost of energy, and that's really ideal for farms throughout California. And we have about 5 megawatts installed throughout the state right now. And it's, once again, it is the lowest cost of energy, but you are losing some land. You're maybe one third of what your typical arrays would be tilted, because you have to have spacing in between the rows. When the stuff lays flat, it's a lot more condensed in its nature. So you're able to get more bang for your buck, and it's a low cost of energy because there's very little metal involved at all. There's nothing going in the ground. You can literally take this apart at the end of its life and plant crops there, and you'll be fine.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
With Arizona facing a 21% cut in California river water allocations from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation this year, an expert in water policy at Arizona State University said she's hopeful farmers won't be expected to alter their operations as the region grapples with declining water levels. At the end of April, the Bureau opened bypass tubes at Glen Canyon Dam to allow 3 days of high water flow from Lake Powell through the Grand Canyon. Arizona is in the middle of its longest drought in about 1,200 years. Sarah Porter, director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at Arizona State University's Morrison Institute for Public Policy, said during a recent Farm Foundation seminar on water rights that Arizona farmers are facing increasing pressure to cut usage. Agriculture accounts for nearly three-fourths of consumptive water use in the basin, and that puts farmers squarely in the spotlight. This has sparked public debate and discussion about a perceived need for farmers to move away from crops that require a lot of water. The current cut in water to Arizona comes on top of an 18% reduction in 2022, with farmers feeling the brunt of those cuts. That's a very heated conversation currently in the state of Arizona, especially regarding the use of groundwater for farming. Small gestures, big impact. That's the theme for May Mental Health Awareness Month by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Lisa Wary, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau and AFBF Women's Leadership Committee, says that farmers have a lot to deal with and talking through it can help.
Say, hey, we're thinking about you. Is everything okay? Because a lot of times, as we realize as farmers, we're dealing with weather, governmental issues that causes anxiety, regulations and stuff like that causes a big impact, and that they're not alone. We're all here for them.
She adds that all farmers and ranchers face the same issues.
Farmers are proud, strong people, and we didn't want anybody to think that we're weak. We got to provide food, fiber, fuel for the country. And now we're letting them know it's okay if you don't feel okay. Talk about it. If you talk about it, another farm might be dealing with the same thing you're dealing with, and you can talk through it. So we have grown leaps and bounds over the years, realizing it's out there. We've got to deal with it. We've got to help each other. We can all work through this together.
According to a 2020 survey conducted by AFBF, a strong majority of farmers and farm workers think financial issues, fear of losing the farm, and farmer business problems impact the mental health of farmers. Neighbors and friends may be experiencing mental health challenges and may not even realize it. Warning signs include a change in routines or social activities, decline in the care of domestic animals, increase in illness or other chronic conditions, increase in farm accidents, the decline of appearance on the farmstead, and decrease interest in activities or events. Dollar stores continue to be the fastest growing retail channel today, both in terms of the number of new stores and the number of shopping visits. The deep discount sector is also the fastest growing retail channel for food purchases, with an 89.7% increase between 2008 and 2020, according to the American Public Health Association. The sector is focused on growing their grocery volume through increased store count and shopper visit frequency, with Dollar General adding more than 1,000 net new stores each of the last 4 years, and Dollar Tree and Family Dollar averaging more than 100 each per year during the same period. New research from Chase Design, the category growth design firm, provides insight into how and why dollar stores are capturing a larger portion of shoppers' grocery spend and what that means for retailers of all channels and brand marketers. Grocery is now the top category shopped in the sector, according to the 2023 Chase Design Dollar Store Channel Survey, followed by personal care and home goods. While food and related categories are the most shopped at dollar stores, trips to these locations are most often fill-ins and not primarily stock-up shops. Where people buy their groceries today is evolving quickly, and dollar stores are getting an increasing amount of the sales from packaged, fresh, and frozen foods, and they're capturing those revenues from traditional retailers like supermarkets and mass merchants. This emerging competition needs to be top of mind for those retailers as they strategize how, when, and where to engage their shoppers, according to Joe Lampetarius, president of Chase Design. He adds there is mainstreaming of dollar stores taking place. In fact, shoppers say national brands are already about half of their purchases, and they want more frozen foods, more national brands, and more beauty and personal care brands. Rather than see these stores as no-frills alternative to larger grocery stores, shoppers are looking for them to resemble their larger rivals more closely. Additionally, the digital experience of dollar stores is seen as less central to the shopping experience. A majority of shoppers never even use dollar store retailer shopping apps, nor do they order products online, which is quite different from the mainstream grocery and mass channels. Representatives from various farm and forest groups offered their thoughts on what climate smart commodity projects and partnerships could mean to producers as economic opportunities. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
A Thursday virtual panel led by Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack discussed the future of climate smart commodities in terms of producer opportunities. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue says that future comes with several questions by growers.
What does this mean for me? What are the obstacles? What are the benefits? We're going to be answering a lot of those questions. And so there's a lot of excitement tied to the possibilities.
Rita Height of the American Forest Foundation says climate smart practices are already in place among several forest landowners.
They know that climate is impacting their woods, and they want to be proactive and do the things that improve the health and the resilience of their forests while also generating revenue and income.
PJ Haney of the National Black Growers Council says incentivization of climate smart commodities is an important part of producer adoption.
In case there is a yield curve, in case there is a learning curve, it helps soften the landing for a lot of growers. And that's what the acceptance is really well received.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Global commodity prices are expected to drop this year at the fastest clip since the beginning of COVID-19. A World Bank report says that clouds the prospective growth of approximately two-thirds of the developing economies that depends on exports. The Commodity Markets Outlook says the drop in prices is expected to bring little relief to the almost 350 million people around the world who are facing food insecurity. While food prices are expected to drop by 8% this year, they will be at their second highest level since 1975. Food price inflation is at 20% globally, the highest level in 20 years. The surge in food and energy prices after Russia's invasion of Ukraine has largely passed due to slowing economic growth, a moderate winter, and reallocations in a commodity trade, according to a report. Overall, commodity prices are expected to fall by 21% in 2023 relative to last year.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.